Well, I am thrilled to be here, but I'm not real thrilled about teaching Sunday school because I've never done that here. Somebody else always does that. And so I'm going to have to wing it this morning. And boy, I tell you what, it's a quarter till 10. Sunday school's over at 10:40, 9:40, 9:45, 25 after. So how many's got a special song this morning? I am just going to have to wing it because I did not come prepared to teach Sunday school because I think somebody else always did that. But we've been put in those spots before, and the Bible says that you've got to give an answer, you know, and... this place is very dear to us. Matter of fact, I think we're supposed to vote me in as pastor today because your pastor is hardly ever here and he's not worth very much and I would work really cheap and so we're going to vote after a while on me becoming the pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I've wanted to do that for a long time. Nobody here's got a 50-cent piece, do you? At home? I never carry change in my pocket. Has anybody got a coin of any kind, a quarter? I'd like to take up all the quarters and all the dollars. And all right. That's my salary. No way. No, this is not even a tip. But I am thankful for growing up in a Christian home. And my father and mother both were in church all of my life, setting an example for us. And one day, I believe that he put a 50-cent piece in my hand, in my sister's hand. And he told us if we could hold it out like that for 5 minutes, we'd get that 50 cents. Does anybody want to try it? Huh? You know, 5 minutes becomes forever. I mean, it's almost impossible. We're not even into a minute, and my arm is already beginning to feel the weight. And in just a few minutes here, I'm sure that my hand will start going down. And it'd be hard for me to hold that quarter. It'd be easier to hold a quarter, wouldn't it, than the 50 cents. But the longer you go, the harder it gets. My dad also told my sister and I that if we would learn Psalm 100, that he would give us a dollar. How many know the Psalm 100? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye not that he is God? That I'm getting old, folks. Help me here. Made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now, I know that psalm, but I'm not in the habit of, at 75. By the way, just in case y'all want to give me a special gift, next Wednesday will be my 75th birthday. So I should have spoke up earlier. My mom and dad, my mom was not a very smart lady. She only went to the sixth grade in school, and she wasn't very smart. And down in Kentucky, you know what you cook beans in? A steer. Anybody know what a steer is? It's a pot that you cook beans in. That's a whole different language in Kentucky. But my mama wasn't very smart with book learning. But she sure did have some common sense. And I remember one time, she ordered me to go down to the edge of the woods and get her a switch. And she instructed me on what kind of switch I had to get, because if I didn't, she would go get one. And so I had to go down to the edge of the woods and break a switch. And I had to rake all the leaves off of it and everything. And by the time I got back to the house, my mom had already accomplished 90% of what she intended to do. So thank the Lord for my mom and dad who taught us in the things of the Lord. And what a blessing it is to have a heritage like that. That is a heritage that most of America is missing out on these days. Now, you can thank the Lord for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and being out in the country like you are and having country folks and serving the Lord and living for the Lord and developing your families in this place. And that's not without problems. It's not without difficulties. We had a lot of problems. We had a lot of difficulties. But through it all, God was always present in our lives. God was always there and holding us up and lifting us up and encouraging us to be in church on a regular basis. How many preachers do we have here today? I know we got some, don't we? Preacher boys that preach, lay preachers. None? Well, somebody needs to get with it. And God has called you to a special ministry of some kind, I know, hasn't he? But I was thinking about Moses and how he had to hold his arms up. Remember? Moses had a staff. We don't have a staff here, do we? We don't have anything I could hold up as a staff. Heavy for an old man, but I'd like to get a couple of young fellas to help me here this morning. Come right in. Come on. Now, which one's Aaron? Which one is her?
He's her. I'm Aaron.
Now, where is that found in the Bible? It's in Exodus. All right. I believe you. But these two fellows are going to hold my arms up. Wait, don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. Because they weren't doing it to start with. Okay. Now, I'm going to hold my arms up here, and we're going to fight a battle this morning. And we're going to battle through this battle to the best of our ability, because I didn't come prepared to teach Sunday school. But you never know when you're going to get into a battle. And the battle can rage on and on and on. And there are people here today. You are going through a battle. You're having a hard time. You're having a difficult time. I don't know what it is. It may just be between you and the Lord. Maybe nobody else knows what it is. But you are facing a battle. You've got a battle on your hands. And you can win that battle as long as you're looking to the Lord. But something happens as time goes on. And as Joshua is fighting the enemy, Moses, he's doing everything he can to hold the rod up, but it's just not working. And There's not a rock around here anywhere, is there, that I can sit on? I don't want to sit on a rock anyway. But oh, come on. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Now I can't see anybody. Y'all can see it. Now, you said I was low. Man alive. My bench is too low. But anyway, so as long as Moses held his arms up, the battle was being won, but he could only do that so long. He cannot continue to hold his arms up. And who would that Moses be in Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Who? Jerry Ross? Well, he's not even here today. But he can only hold that rod up so long. And the time comes when you start losing the battle. Do you understand? Do you realize how important it is for you to hold up his arms? You've got to hold his arms up. You have got one of the finest preachers in this country right here. Did you all know that?
Amen.
You did know it?
Amen.
Well, if you didn't, I'm telling you right now, you've got a preacher here that would be sought after all over the country. If he left, I'd come pastor this church. You know, there's a battle going on. You got a battle in your life?
Yes, sir.
You do? Okay. You want to tell all the church about it? No. You have a battle going on in your life?
Yes, sir. It's my wife.
It's your wife. There's a problem. There's a problem there with his wife. Now, when you got married, did you beat her 3 times a week? That's where your problem comes in. You start out beating them 3 times a week, and then eventually you can get it down to where it's maybe 3 times a year. And so, but anyway. I remember one time my wife and I were doing something, playing around or something, and I brought my arm around and sort of slapped her upside the head. I didn't mean to. It was not intentional. It was an accident. But I still to this day remember the look on her face. And I said, "Sweetheart, did you think I did that on purpose?" She said, "Well, I didn't know." I said, "No." I said, "That was a total accident." But I've never laid a hand on my wife that I know of, unless it's my sleep or something. But what's your problem?
Your family.
Your family. Now, your family, is that your kids, your wife, your mom and dad,
all
your
of
brothers
them.
And sisters? All of them. So I'm beginning to see that there's some real problems in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I have come to this Amen. Conclusion. I don't want to pastor this church. I only want to come here once a year. And I do have an invitation for the rest of my life, you know. But, you know, we've got some battles to fight. Is there anybody else that's got a battle going on out there? Huh? You want to stand up and tell us about it?
Mine's depression.
What that?
Depression.
You suffered depression?
Yes.
And, you know, that is a real problem. That is a real battle. And there's a lot of people that suffer from that. And, you know, the answer, of course, is to always looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is a real serious problem, but it can be overcome. You know what it means to overcome something? It means to overcome something. And we're all overcomers, right? We've all got things to overcome. So thank you. Someone else. Is anybody else fighting a battle? Now, if it's something very
personal and very bad. You don't have to share that with us, but if there's so, anybody else got a battle you're facing? How about that old man in that shirt there that started to come up here?
I can tell you this, it's not my wife.
I tell you what, you just made her day, and these fellas here are in big trouble. They are in big trouble. I'm telling you. Now, are y'all getting tired yet?
Yes, sir.
You're getting tired?
Yes, sir.
I'm not tired at all. I've got somebody holding up my hands, and I'm not even getting tired. Now, fellas, y'all can go sit down. So thank you so much. But put that rock back first. But that is a serious problem that we have because, you know, everybody that comes into this church comes in as a sinner. And then they get saved by the grace of God. And that does not mean that their problems go away. Because, you know, when you get saved, your soul is saved, but your body is still as lost as it ever was. And so that creates a battle immediately between the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh and the spirit are contrary the one to the other. And somebody said, which one wins? The one you feed. An old Indian chief, I think, made that statement many years ago on a mission field. And he said to the missionary, he said, it's like I got these two dogs in me fighting. One's a black dog, one's a white dog. He said, which one wins? He said, the one I feed. And that's the way it is with you and me. The one that wins is the one that we feed. And so we feed the Spirit. We're supposed to feed the Spirit. And as we feed the Spirit, we grow spiritually. You know, Moses led the children of Israel across the desert. It's an amazing thing. We get this thing so mixed up, don't we? Get this thing really confused. Because Moses, he crossed the Red Sea, right? That was salvation. I mean, you know, they marched across on dry ground, and that was salvation, a sign of getting saved. But what happens when they get to the other side? Everything's supposed to be perfect, right? You go from the Red Sea right across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. No, it doesn't work that way. When you cross the Red Sea, you look and you say, my goodness, there's sand, 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 sand everywhere. All you see is sand and rocks and sand, nothing else. And so when you get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and you enter into him, you go across the Red Sea into the desert. And that means, you know, many times when you get saved, that means you have to lose your old friends. Many times you have to change jobs. Many times you have to separate yourself from friends, family, even sometimes, you know, because they're not going to go the same direction you're going in. And so you find yourself all alone. And then all of a sudden you've got water from the rock and it's refreshing. And then you've got manna from heaven. But manna from heaven and water from the rock is like being on the welfare system. And you know, the welfare system is a wonderful thing for people that are entitled to it, that need it. But as you know, in our country, we've got millions of people living off the welfare of the government that should be working a job. So the children of Israel, they went into a 40-year plan of welfare. They depended on God every day for their meal. And they got sick of it. I mean, they got to where they loathed that manna from heaven. And then came the day when Moses could have led the children of Israel over into the Promised Land. Now, the Promised Land is not heaven. I'm sure you know that because you've got a wonderful Bible teaching, preaching preacher here that has taught you well. And so you know very well that The Jordan River, crossing the Jordan River, is not entering into heaven. It's entering into the Spirit-filled life. And the Spirit-filled life is what God wants all of His children to enter into. Now, in the desert, God gave them manna from heaven. But over in the Promised Land, it was dates and pomegranates and all kinds of fruits and vegetables, you name it, and they had it. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But you had to pick it. You had to work to get it. You had to work to take care of your family. And you know, God wants you to enter into the Promised Land. But there's always a battle that's going on. That's all the children of Israel ever had all their life. They had a battle going on continually. And even after they entered into the Promised Land, they had a battle going on because they never did clean it up the way they were supposed to. They never did get it just right. Just like you and me, we haven't quite got it right yet, have we? Still working on it. Having a tough time of it. Problem after problem after problem after problem after problem. And many times we don't even consult God about those problems. My wife does a radio program every morning with me, you know, and does just a little clip of things. And the other day she was talking about Rizpah. And Rizpah was a daughter of Saul. Is that right? Wife of Saul, one of his concubines. And she had, was it five sons? And when the children of Israel marched into the Promised Land, they met the Gibeonites. You remember the Gibeonites? The Gibeonites were a people, they were in the land, but they dressed themselves up in old clothes with old moldy bread and to make it look like they'd been on a long journey. And they came to Joshua and they said, "We're the Gibeonites, we want to make a league with you." And he said, "Well, you're not of this land?" "No, we're not of this land." And so Joshua, without consulting with God, the way you and I may do many things, without consulting God, made a league with the Gibeonites, which was not God's plan initially. It was his permissive will, but not his perfect will. But Joshua did make a league with the Gibeonites. And later on, when Saul was the king, Saul said, "You know what? Those Gibeonites, they're not supposed to be in our land. I'm just going to wipe them all out." And so he had war with the Gibeonites and killed a bunch of them. And later on, God brought judgment on David, on Israel, because Saul had slew the Gibeonites. And David said, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "Well, you make it right." So David goes to the Gibeonites and he said, "Okay, what do you want me to do? What do we do about getting this thing right so that God can bless us again?" They said, "We don't want you to do anything." Watch out for words like that. Amen? Watch out for words. They said, "We don't want you to do anything." And I'm sure David thought, "Boy, I got off this one easy." "Okay, whatever you say, whatever you say, you tell me what you want and you get it." They said, "We don't want you to do anything, but we will take five sons of Saul and we'll hang them up on a tree." And that's what they did. And Rizpah was the concubine of Saul, and she went out there and she stood guard over those bodies against the buzzards and all the wild beasts and everything else, till David found out about it and took care of it. So you see, there is always a battle going on. Many times we consult God, many times we don't. Many times we are in the right, many times we're in the wrong. But when we cross the Jordan River, we enter into the Promised Land of God. We enter into the mature Christian life. And supposedly we go on to mature some things and we serve the Lord and do that which is right. But just like you and me and everybody else, we all have trouble in the flesh. We all have problems in the flesh one way or another. And it doesn't matter because flesh is flesh. You say, well, I don't have the problem so-and-so had. No, but you got your problem. And so we all have these problems that we have because we're all facing a battle. We're all having a battle from without, and we're having a battle from within. Not only do we have enemies on the outside, but we have enemies on the inside that's always fighting against us. So there's always a problem, always difficulties. The best thing that you can do to fight those battles is to have your family in church on a regular basis. And when I say regular basis, I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know if God has given us a little reprieve or not with the elections we just had. I'm hoping that he did. But we know that our answer is not in the White House. The answer is in the church house. And I think we saw a little bit of that raise up over our country. Praise the Lord for that. And just maybe God will give us a little reprieve and we'll see some revival taking place in America. I don't know, but I heard that Donald Trump had gotten saved. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. If he did, he's just a little baby Christian. He don't know beans about anything. But if he did, God has got a plan for him. And I do know that we've got a lot of people in our country that are concerned about the way the nation has been going for the past several years. The killing of the unborn babies, you know, and an unborn baby has no rights whatsoever, according to all the abortionists. So we are facing battles from without and from within. But you have got one of the greatest preachers in the nation right here. And here may be one of your biggest battles. You may be so close to him that you don't even see it. You may be so close to him that you don't understand. And you say, oh, that's old Jerry. He grew up around here and we've known him all his life and he's nothing. You better hold his hands up. You better hold his arms up because that becomes very, very, very important. We need to have people holding up the hands of our preachers all over America. You need to do everything you can to hold his hands up and hold him up high because, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. And if you're not careful, sometimes you get so close to people that you see their faults and failures instead of seeing the greatness that they are. That what God has done in their life. And we've seen that happen many times through history. So God help us. Do we have a problem? Moses held up his hands with the rod of God. And as long as he held that rod up, Joshua and the army were winning the battle. But as he began to let his arms down, there needed to be an Aaron and a Hur to come along and lift him up and hold him up for him. And let me encourage you, whoever you are, whatever you are in this church, make sure that you're part of the solution and not part of the problem. So I'll close with this. Are you part of the solution or are you a part of the problem? And if you're a part of the problem, you might need to just do some self-examination and say, okay, what do I need to do here? I need to make some things right in my life.